Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our sermon is Teaching Children God's Word, taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 to 7. As we remember Children's Day, we want to acknowledge today before God His gracious gift of children to every parent represented here in our congregation. If God had not given, we would not have received. The Bible tells us that children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Psalm 127, verse 3. This is a day of thanksgiving. It is a day of grateful tribute that we have set aside to give to the giver of life, the giver of these precious lives, entrusted to parents, nurture and care. Children are God's precious gifts to parents, an inheritance from the Lord. Children are a part of God's treasury, entrusted to parents. And the fruit of the womb is not a fruit of chance, but it is God's blessings upon parents. It is a token of God's love and kindness to parents. So today we want to remember and we want to ponder and meditate upon this truth that God has blessed us with children. As parents, we want to remember the moments of joy, the moments of great rejoicing when we first received our children into this world as tokens of God's gifts. And today, perhaps many years has passed. How is it going for you and your children? For the parents and for all who have a part in teaching children, what words would you use to describe your bringing up, your teaching of these children in the ways of God? You said it's very challenging, very exciting, very angry, very threatening. Would you say it's impossible? Would you say it is strain? It is fun. It is impatient. It is adventurous. Would you say it's heartbreaking? Is it pleasant? Are you busy? Well, we have a suggestion here for us. Why don't we set aside a period of time during these next few months for a single purpose to evaluate and think about the condition of our home, and then to set in motion certain necessary steps to strengthen the weaknesses that you may uncover or you may uncover in your home. Each parent would do well to evaluate the condition of their own children. Are there certain special faults that is in them? Are there certain weaknesses that you can see very glaringly? Do they have certain great gifts, great strength that is liable to lead them astray? What is it likely to fail them? Which are the faults that is most prominent? Which of them are of chief importance and needs immediate correction? Such questions need to be pondered long. Such questions need to be pondered well. So the Lord has set aside this day for us, and may we use it wisely as we think, as we discover what we ought to do. The prophet Jeremiah has this advice for us. He says, "Ask for the old path, where is the good way? Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." what does God's word says concerning how we are to train our children in the ways of God. This text, Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 7, gives to us the well-treaded, tested path we can rely on to help us bring up our children. And there are two pointed truths which we want to consider here. Firstly, from verse 6, securing your heart in the Lord first. Securing your devotion toward the Lord as a first priority. And then, from verse 7, shepherding your children's heart. Verse 6 tells us, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. How else is it possible to instruct children, our children, if our heart is divided, if our heart is not whole toward God? That's why Moses wrote in the two verses preceding our text in verse 4 and 5, asking Israel to examine their lives, make a stock check about your own spiritual condition first. Hear, O Israel, verse 4, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The living and true God is only one, and we are to love him wholly, love him with our whole being. So this first thought, Moses is telling us to hide the word of God in our hearts. The heart is the entire disposition of the inner man. What consists of a man is but his heart, for out of the heart comes the issues of life. So we are to hide God's word in our hearts. That's the first injunction. And the conjunction there in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, expresses a motion toward the object, a motion to find God, that God's word may rest upon the hearts of God's people. And here the sense of it is that these words that God gives to us are to be etched in the heart of the parents. How do we know? Well, you look at verse 7, the parental mandate is given there, is deduced from the word that we are to teach diligently. And that's the word there that means to sharpen. It's the Hebrew word shanan. And what does it mean here? Well, it describes an intense action of cultivating godliness. The word there means to inculcate. The idea here has to do with the cutting the words into the stone. You know how difficult it is to cut words into stones. But when the words are cut into the stones, you'll find that there is a permanent imprint on the stone. So the sense of it is that the word of God must be so impressed, so deeply impressed upon our hearts, and then imparted to the hearts of our children, that it remains there. So that's the sense of what is being given there. And this first thought tells us we are to secure our hearts first in the Lord. And to help us to see the gravity of Moses' words to Israel, we need to first examine the context of the book of Deuteronomy. The word Deuteronomy is taken from the Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament. The word means deuter, which means the second, and nomos, which is a law, the second giving of the law. God's law was given again because God's law was rejected by the earlier generation. Remember that there was that generation that spent 40 years in the wilderness, and how they walked round and round, round and round, and how they perished without entering the promised land. Well, they rejected the word of God. They refused to obey God's commandment to possess the land. And now, after 40 years, they are at the brink of entering the promised land. And now, before Moses, is a new generation of God's people. And he is asking them, he is pleading with them, and he is instructing them, and he is giving to them the background. He writes these words because this new generation of adult Israelites has a whole life ahead of them. They were on the brink of entering the promised land. So for this new generation that will enter the promised land, God has instructed Moses to prepare them to possess the land, that they may prosper in the land of their possession, by giving them specific instructions. And verse 1 to 3 of Deuteronomy chapter 6 gives us the context. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes and judgments which the Lord thy God commanded thee, commanded to teach you, that ye might do them. How can we do except first we know the word and be convicted of the blessing of going in God's way? So Moses is saying to them that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess them, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all the statutes and commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. So he says, hear, O Israel, observe and do it, that it may be well with thee, that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father has promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Truly, Israel is a land that flows with milk and honey. For those who have been to Israel, I remember eating the chilled dates in Israel, how they are sweet as honey. But notice here the promises of God that comes upon the godly. What does it say? It says that their days may be prolonged. When we transgress God's law, when we don't take heed to God's law, when we sin against God, God will be the one that deal with us himself. How can our days be prolonged when we live a life of debauchery against God and his word? That was what happened the generation earlier. So do not repeat the same mistakes. Moses is telling them, rehearsing to them the history so that they may know. Moses tells them that the God-fearer will endeavor to bring up their children in the way of righteousness, that the next generation too may fear God, and that the spiritual heritage may be preserved from generation to generation. So he tells us that God's word is true wisdom, that it does work, and that God's word provides true solutions to life's problems. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 5 to 9. When Israel followed the word of God and lived by the word of God, God will prosper them. Verse 5 to 9 tells us, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye may do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, and hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God in all things that we call him for? And what nation is there so great and has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thou hast seen, and lest thou depart from, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. You see, the word of God was given to Israel by God himself. God spoke amidst thunder and lightning. That generation saw who God is. They experienced the awesome power of God. And yet, they failed the Lord. And Moses is reminding them how they need to have that fear of God in their heart. Not only to revere God, but really the fear of God is to be scared to death of God, that he is the all-powerful God, the creator of the universe, and that he can take our lives away at any moment. So to help us see that the gravity of those words that were given, let us turn to Exodus 21. Exodus 21, verses 18 to 21, to help the people, remind the people about the scene when God gave his word. Verse 21, chapter 21, verses 18 to 21. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, and when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, that his fear may be before your face, that ye sin not. The people of God need to be reminded of the awesome power of God, that our God is an awesome judge and will deal with us after our sins. And therefore, it's so important for us to walk according to his commandments, because his commandments are protection for his people. So parents are reminded first that they are to know the law of God. And the fear of God must undergird the heart to cause it to want to obey, lest we fall into the hands of God's all-consuming fire. And we see that as parents, we are to spend time, invest time in knowing the Word of God ourselves. Do we spend time reading good Christian books that will help us to grow in godliness? How often do we spend time in good Christian books that helps us to, that teaches us on raising godly children? If we have not learned the ropes, it will be to our loss, and the prize will be the lives of the children. You may say, I do not have any children. Well, the Lord may bless you with a marriage and a children in the later years. Well, there is that time of preparation. Today, we see this working mother phenomenon where both husband and wives would work and the children are left in the care of childcare centers, in maids, in grandparents. And even more sad today, as we look at the business world, that parents go on end on business trips. The priority for the family in this society of ours seem to be living better, dressing better, driving better, and eating better. So for the young family, they would have many commitments, commitment to loans for housing, for cars, for renovation, that requires both husband and wives to work to ensure that the family do not default on their loans. And so in this kind of environment, under such commitment and pressure, where do parents find time in caring for the souls of their children when parents themselves are lost, making a place for themselves in this world? So as we consider, as we ponder upon our text, well, we want to remind us of the urgency of the matter that is before us. Time is running out. It's going to be too late. So this first thought tells us, first secure your heart in the Lord. Then in verse 7, shepherd your children's heart. How are you nurturing your children? Verse 7 says, and thou shalt teach them diligently the word of God to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. As we consider this second portion, the shepherding of our children's heart, we want to try to restate verse 7. Child rearing is spending quantity time and not quality time. Child rearing is spending quantity time and yet quality time. Oftentimes we said that I want to use my time fruitfully in that little time that I have with the children. But this text tells us that the father is with the children. And so you see here, we want to think and simply put it this way, that parents need to set priority to having a home life. And that's the first thought that we want to think about, setting priority in having a home life. Because the parents are commanded to teach diligently their children. So how could they do so when they are not at home? And if we were to observe carefully the life that we lead, you'll find that it is, whether it's business, whether it's social, whether it's educational, it's always rush, 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 and rush. We have very little time for home life. We are living in a rush age, nervous age, especially with the globalization of business. Working parents now has to travel overseas, and a child would cry, and we see many instances like that. Mommy, mommy, please don't go. And mother would say, I'll be going away for 10 days, but I will call you every day. And the child cries, and the mother goes. And these cycles goes on and on. It is so difficult to stop and be quiet. This materialistic world is taking hold on our lives. China is expanding. The Middle East is expanding. We must have a little bit of the pie. And nearer home, we see that after a day's work, instead of the family coming home together, it is going here, going there. Children are here and there and not at home. The mother is out. The father is out. The child is with the maid, with the grandfather, with the grandmother, and each arriving home at different hours of the night. And so you see, as we evaluate and look at our lives, you see that It seems we can't sit still. There is no home life. So mothers and fathers who are not willing to build the home, running here and running there, well, the call is that we are to stop. Stop! We must get ourselves to be quiet and silent before the Lord, that we can think and meditate and listen to what God has to say to us here in verse 7 of Deuteronomy 6. There's this testimony of Robert Hoffman. He went home with the Lord in early 1988. He left behind 11 children and 24 grandchildren. Everyone who knew him knew that. But what wasn't as well known was the secret of his family's success. What enabled him to produce 11 respected, hard-working, God-honoring children who were passing the heritage along to their families. The oldest son, Paul, spoke for the family in their dad's memorial service, revealed this secret. He said that his dad was so committed to his family that he has decided early in his career in the medical profession to work only 3.5 days a week so that he could dedicate the rest of his time to his family. He says, Paul says, my dad could have made a lot more money, but he knew what was more important. He has his priorities straight. He provided for his family's material needs without overlooking their need for a caring father. Although most of us here could not get on a shortened work week, we can learn from his commitment. And as parents, we want to think back of all the activities, the tasks that we have been doing over the last week. Did any of them have more lasting value than those that could have been spent with our spouse and children? So the thought here for us is this, that we are to realize that investing in our children pays a higher dividend. That is spiritually speaking. This is what verse 7 is telling us. The spiritual and emotional health of your family should be first priority. And therefore, we need to make it a point to know what's going on in the lives of our children. Then we are able to think of a way to help them. Well, if you are teaching a class of children and there are children entrusted to your care, well, this is the same teaching over here. Schedule your time for your children, time for a heart-to-heart parent-child interaction. Schedule time for your children each day. And accept the fact that to gain commitment to your family, you will have to sacrifice some things of lesser value. So this first sub-thought in the shepherding of our children's heart is this, that we are to set priority in having a home life. Then the second thought following is setting priority to dwell on God's word at home. The basis of our authority and instruction is the Bible. So God's truth must already have been distilled in the parent's heart that he may be able to apply them, use them, teach them to the children. So the question is asked to us, are we building our home on God's eternal word? Is the Bible the most read book in your home? Do you search the pages to know how to live? Do you take time to meditate upon the passages of the book of Scripture in your home? Are you nourishing your own heart and nourishing the heart of your family? The venerable pastor and educator, Dr. Bob Jones, who has gone home with the Lord, he said this: when we as adults grow old with God's word, the way should grow brighter, the Lord grows more precious, the world grows dimmer, and eternity grows more glorious. Is this our life? The Bible is the roadmap, and we learn to be less earthbound and more heavenbound. He says that there is that perspective in our lives as adults, that heavenly perspective, that spiritual perspective. And he says, the Bible is the roadmap of life from earth to heaven. Don't forget, he says, we can't build a godly home without God's word. No storm can shake a home built upon the Bible. Omitting the reading of Scripture, sometimes with the excuse of saving time, is a great wrong done to the home. And he's writing this, he's speaking this in a time when the media is still not a big part of the home. But today, our challenges are greater. Our challenges are more. So the head of the home, being the father being the head of the home, must be the chief instructor of the values and principles of the Bible. Through his example, through planned family worship times, that the word of God may be applied in every situation. So here he tells us that God's word must be taught and given, must be expressed in the most loving way to our children, in the most favorable circumstances. That's in everyday life, day in, day out. When you have that time, when the children are growing. So the question is asked to us, how much of Scripture is to be read? Well, it is the whole Bible. There are those who follow a system of reading the Bible, but we may not need to follow a system and be bound by the system. The point is this, that Scripture needs to be read in the home. And that's the sense of verse 7, you see. There was one pastor who testified. He says, I read the Scripture to my family in some regular order, and I'm pleased to have thus a lesson found for me. So every time he reads the Word of God, he says, this is a lesson that God is sending for me. As I read to my children, as I teach my children, I can see the relevance of that lesson for me. So he learns. And we have gotten a set of toddler's books in the library that young mothers can go to. We have the junior RPG. It is a good guide to read to young children in primary school. We have the teens RPG for the teens. And God willing, we will distribute to our families the Amazing Grace, the J.C. Ryle's expository thoughts of the Gospels for family devotion. May that also speed us along the way. The manner of reading the Bible in the family is of great importance. How do you read the Bible to your children? Is it half-heartedly? Is it sleepily, monotonously, callously? Or do you articulate the Word of God to your children clearly? God has given us His Word. His Word is given to the church, the pillar of truth. And his word is given to fathers in the home. And so family instruction in the scripture must be revived. That's what Moses is saying. Okay? And we are really going back to the basics, to the old paths, you see. This really works if we would follow setting priority to having a home life, setting priority to dwell on God's word at home, and thirdly, shepherding purposefully, patiently, and prayerfully. These are the three words that can help us to summarize verse 7. Because this child of ours that God has given to us is a child that is born into the family of Adam after the fall. He has that sin nature that is in him. And in the nursery, you can see that nature. And that is the best time to teach the child. And so there is that urgency there. And we need to realize that what we do now for our children is going to influence them for eternity. Whether our children is going to stand justified or condemned, we have a great part to play. We leave the results to the Lord, but the responsibility is ours, you see. That's what verse 7 is telling us. In the biography of John MacArthur, Ian Murray, the delightful biographer, he wrote, and he quoted John MacArthur's writing, Successful Christian Parenting. And this is what MacArthur says. The family is the one environment where your devotion, faithfulness, and consistency matter most. It is where the most are at stake. It is where the greatest blessings can be realized. There is simply no greater blessing than raising your family in the way that honors God. It is said to close with an example from the Bible. Timothy, the New Testament, was one who is brought up by the influence of a godly grandmother who bore fruit in Timothy's life. By her devotion, together with the mother, grandmother Lois, and the mother Eunice, they taught young Timothy in the scriptures. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that, and the Apostle Paul is testifying of Timothy's upbringing. He says, and from a child thou hast known the scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. The scriptures were an important part of the home life of Timothy. And both Lois and Timothy and Eunice taught Timothy the fear of God that causes him to receive Christ at an early age. And as you think about the scene in the early church, as you think about the situation in Lystra, that's where Timothy lives, that's where Lois and Eunice live, Paul was there during the first missionary journey. And Paul preached the gospel, and it was at that time that they were converted. They were the first Christians. And you know, Paul went through a lot of persecution by the people there. And there was one situation when God enabled, or God enabled an impotent man to be healed. And Lois, Eunice must have witnessed the truth concerning Jesus Christ, concerning the living God. And they saw and they imparted that unfeigned faith to their grandson. And so Paul the Apostle Paul, the Bible says, came back again and again. Acts chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. It says, to confirm the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. There was that support in godly teaching from the church, together with the family. So you can see, possibly Lois is one of the pious members of the church in Lystra, and how her devotion bore fruit. Parents are shepherds to their children. This verse taught us that we are to first secure our own heart in the Lord. Parents need to cultivate a heart prepared for the sacred task of child rearing. If you are in any way involved in the teaching of children, this is what we are to do. We must first be prepared. And then, shepherding the children's heart. Consider setting priority to have a home life. Setting priority to dwell on God's word with your family. And to shepherd your children's heart, we are to do it purposefully. God's word is the guide. Salvation and spiritual progress of our children is our goal. And we are to do so patiently. Godly habits are to be formed in the child, and it takes time. Quantity and not quality time. Quantity time and yet quality time. And finally, the most important, all these endeavors need to be undergirded by prayer. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. May the Lord bless every parent and every child seeking to walk in His ways. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful to Thee, as we have been reminded from the words of Moses, that Thou hast given to write, that it may be etched in the bottom of our heart, and that we may carry out this mandate that Thou hast entrusted to us as parents, as teachers of God's word, teaching children. Lord, may Thou prepare us, prepare our hearts, and grant to us Thy blessing as we seek to do our best to teach our children. Lord, we realize the outcome is Yours, and Thou hast given us that responsibility to co-labor with Thee. So, Lord, may Thou grant us the faith to trust Thee and serve Thee in this way. This I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.